Good morning. This is Brian Wickert on WDRT with the program Conversations. And this morning I'm having a conversation with Paula Grenier. Both of us had listened to a podcast a week or so ago and we're both fascinated about it, so we're going to talk about it a little bit today. So good morning, Paula. How are things going with you?
Good morning, Brian. Good to be here in the studio again. It's been a while. Yeah.
Good. How many years did you have your show?
The Heart of Wellness was on, I think, for 10 years. Mm-hmm. My husband, Dr. Paul Grenier, started it with Prudence Tippins, mm-hmm. and I forget what year it was. And then when Prudence had to step away, then I became the co-host for the next 8 years. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of great times on the radio. Miss it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was a big commitment. but yeah, I think my husband's jonesing to get back at something. And so we'll see. But this is a good little wake me up again. Brian finds me in the street. Hey, let's have this conversation. Okay.
And we meet in a lot of different areas, but one of the things we do with a organization called Duff, Driftless United for Health Freedom, and both of us listened to a podcast last week by Aaron Seary, who is the lawyer for the ICANN organization, which is Del Bigtree's organization, right?
Yes, Informed Consent Action Network. Mm-hmm. So that's nice abbreviation. What's that word?
I know what you're talking
about.
You
know what I'm saying? Nice.
The word's a synonym. That's not a synonym, but it's not
that's
an
short,
anagram.
When you take the letters of something and make it ICANN is easier, right, than because right. It's kind of cute. I can make my own choices with the mm-hmm. Informed Consent Action Network. I really like how that played out for him in that creation of that title of that name.
And Del was here a year or so ago, wasn't he? Did you meet him then?
Yeah. I've met him a couple times, yeah. But he was here in the June of 2022.
In Viroqua, yeah.
Yeah, for the Food, Health, and Freedom Conference put on by Max Keynes and Company. And I've also seen him at an event called VaxCon in Wisconsin twice. I really respect Del. He's a journalist and an educator. And, you know, his story in brief is that he was just doing other things in life and kind of fell into this, wow, are these safe and effective vaccines in general? And kind of just couldn't not go into it and study it. Like it just kind of called him into it. Like, this is a concern for our children in the world and our people. And then he just was led down this path. And so now, years later, he's, you know, the instigator of a show called The High Wire, which is what Brian and I are going to talk about.
Right.
And
tell him about the High Wire protocol.
I don't know about the protocol directly, but he interviews people each week. He has a show on Thursdays. And, I mean, the episode we're going to talk about is episode 326, so it tells you how many times he's been on the air with The High Wire. And, again, he was just kind of moving forward with this energy of, like, I want to help inform the public and let them know their choices around healthcare. And he has all kinds of different topics on there, one of them being vaccines, others is maybe water safety and other things. But always about this idea of helping people make the best choices for their health with informed, information, informed.
Well, the informed part is what I liked about his show is because he has a show on Thursday, but on Monday he comes back with a list, like a list of where all the information came from. He calls it the High Wire protocol, so everything is transparent, where he gets information, and he comes back. So on Monday you'll get everything that you want to go research it yourself, and he'll always say, don't believe me, go to the source. This is where we found it. And that's what I like about that is he's not saying, I said it, so it's true. I say it, go check it out.
Which is really valuable these days, as we all know the buzz term of fake news and misinformation and, you know, all the media in the world owned by 6 people or some crazy stat you can go look up yourself. But I read that somewhere once, and if you trace back who just really owns the media, it's kind of revealing about who's giving us the story every day. You know, it reminds me of that movie. Remember that movie called Wag the Dog? Or it had Dustin Hoffman in it, and basically a whole story about that they wanted to, like, tell our whole country that there was a war going on, but there really wasn't, because they wanted to make money or something. It's a really interesting one. I think it's called Wag the Dog's Tail or something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm familiar with it.
But I remember watching that going, wow, how often does this go on? And we are clueless. Or even that really old radio show called War of the World?
Orwellian. Orwell?
Was it Orson Welles?
Orson Welles.
Where they, you know, they just put this radio show on and people were listening to it and they all just were like in a complete panic because they thought it was real. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it's not just a radio show. Calm down. So things like that. Like, so, you know, what is really real out there? So the fact that Del Bigtree, you know, puts his sources up every time saying, you go look it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the first taste of it, but don't listen to me. I really like that. Right?
Yep.
So one other thing I want to add is I didn't really say my background. So, you know, the conversation we're having today, like I'm a chiropractor by education. So I've been around the health talk since 1985 and graduated in 89. And so all these years. And then eventually I became a parent in 1994 where I really got to put that into action, like, you know, making decisions for someone else but wanting to be completely informed about it. So the informed consent became really real. When you become a parent, right? Because now you're like, wow, it's not just about me. It's like, what am I doing for this person? And so, you know, been around this conversation a long time and made choices for my own family in my own ways by doing very deep studying, reading lots of information from different sources. And so this is a subject I feel like Brian said, you want to come and talk about this? I go, well, you know, I'm kind of my own personal do my research person, but I'm in the health field, so often we get these questions in our office, and we usually guide people to say, here's a variety of sources to go, you know, read on your own and make your own informed consent. So this vaccine thing, I've been around the block studying it for a while. We've had other guests on our Heart of Wellness show in the past talking about these things, and it really comes down to, again, in the spirit of Del Bigtree, of helping people have the information they need to make the decisions they want to make. Right?
Yeah.
To that informed consent. So
let's have the discussion. That's what they say.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we're not getting that these days.
Mm-hmm.
So Del wants to have the discussion. Mm-hmm. Now, the show we listened to was Aaron Siri. He's a lawyer and he works for the ICANN network. And he is the one that sues the government, as an example, when they said the safety trials. They could hold them for 55 years before they gave the information out.
55 years.
Yeah,
this was an odd number.
Yeah, but it was that's how long they're going to take to give the information, and he went and successfully got it released, so we could look at some of this stuff.
Wow.
So he's been very successful taking down the CDC and the FDA, and he was invited by the Arizona. And let me look at the name of it.
It's called
Arizona State Senate Novel Coronavirus Southwest Intergovernmental Committee that met May 25th and 26th. Of this year and 2023. And they were interested in reviewing what happened during the pandemic. What are the things we learned? What are the things that could be better? I remember when it first started off, my wife says, just take a chill pill. In 2 years, we'll have a lot more information about how to make better decisions. And that's exactly right. We do have a lot more information now.
What a roller coaster ride that those 2 years were.
It was tough. So anyway, so he was invited. Two-day Senate hearing. The people that were on it were the Arizona Legislative's Health and Human Services Chair and Vice Chair of the Senate Committee, and the chair of their assembly or representative committee. So these were the people most on the front lines in Arizona with the Health and Human Services. What did we do right? What did we do wrong? What can we learn? And they're making this effort to go back and look at stuff so going forward they'll have more information. So that was their impetus for this Senate committee hearing.
Which I'd just like to give kudos to Arizona for taking that action step. I mean, I hope all states are going to do this because, you know, we don't have to relive those 2 years, but it was complete chaos in a lot of ways, right? Shooting from the hip. And I'm appreciative of governing bodies taking the moment to step back and go, wow, what happened? What did we do? What was the outcome? You know, those are great questions to ask. I really want to acknowledge them and, again, hope that other states are doing the same.
Good. So he was given 5 points to address in his talk, and one of them was data
transparency.
So that was VSAFE, which is how you report it, and VAERS, which is the government agency that reports vaccine injuries.
Yeah, people can report into the VAERS system. Right.
So how transparent was that? Then clinical trials, were there clinical trials or not on these mRNA vaccines? And then lack of informed consent information. So when you make, you were talking earlier about having informed consent, if you don't have the information, you're really not informed. And then pharmaceutical immunity, which was, that's the one
that
just
twists
my mind. And then reporting of what were the actual injuries and deaths during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was quite a task for Mr. Siri to be asked to cover in a one session. I think it was like a two-hour session. He had to explain all that.
He had a lot. Yeah, I don't know how long it was, but it was a long
hey, can you come talk about this? So again, appreciative that these governing bodies were asking someone. You know, I kind of found it interesting, Brian, that it was a lawyer going to talk to them, but he was the one. I mean, just in general, like he's not like a health practitioner, but he was. I'm assuming they asked him because he's been going up against the government saying, hey. So he had the data,
He had the data.
Yeah. So I like, though, how he, you know, in his presentation, how he said, these are the topics that I was asked to cover. And then he had this big question on, you know, again, I was watching the visual podcast, and it's big screen. I would said, how could this system that everyone relies on be broken so badly?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, wow. That's like he's putting that question out there,
yeah.
And he's sharing it with these governing bodies,
mm-hmm.
right? So that was a good way to start that whole process, right?
Yeah. So when he started off with the what was it?
One of the things I picked up on that he said, we have to understand, like if we're asking this question, how could the system that everyone relies on be broken so badly? He said, well, we have to understand the paradigm in which the corona vaccine came into. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have to understand the whole
picture
of our nation and how we view health or quote unquote vaccines, all that, which I thought was a really nice perspective to step into. Like, let me explain this to y'all first, people. Let me give you the history of this country's approach to vaccines. And then we'll talk about the coronavirus in the middle of it, right? That's what I really was excited to see that.
So he did a really good job laying the foundation.
Yep.
Keep going with that.
Well, so what he brought the attention to right away was that he said, okay, so, you know, at one point in time, there weren't that many vaccines being put in our children.
When?
Well, you know, before 1986, there's just like three, right? Like I was born in 65. I don't know when you were born, Brian, but... You know, my baby book tells me that I had, you know, a dose of this and a dose of that, and that's a dose of this. And I remember eating a sugar cube at school with something in it, and I do have a little mark on my arm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that was it. Never then did I have to do anything more. In my little baby book, it ends there. Boom. But in 1986, our powers that be at the moment, they put a different law into effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
The National Vaccine Injury Act. Right? Childhood
Injury Act, 1986.
So that was a game changer.
That one was the one that just got my mind really running.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, in 1986, there were three vaccines that the children got.
Well... I'm just going to add a little thing. I have this really cool chart here from the Wisconsin United for Freedom, which is one of our local groups who are out there on the front lines trying to educate and stay on top of our government to protect our children's health through these rooms. Mm-hmm. And I have this old chart that says, what year were you born? In 1960, you were getting the smallpox, DTP, and polio vaccines. But already by 1983, they had upped that game a little bit by adding in the MMR and something called an OPV and a TD.
Let me give you those. The MMR is measles, mumps, and rubella. And rubella is just German measles. So it's two measles and a mumps one. The OPV is the oral polio vaccine.
Okay.
Now, they got away from that, but at that time they had, and then the DTP was diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. And pertussis is whooping cough. Tetanus, if you get an infection, and diphtheria is more like a whooping cough, swelling of your you know, mumps, your lymph glands on your neck and everything. Mm-hmm. So those were diseases at that time, but that's all they had.
Right. So by 1983, you'd get a couple rounds of that, right? Like my chart says, at 2 months, you'd get the DTP and the OPV.
Right.
And then again at 4 months, that happened again for both of those. 6 months again, DTP. Then the MMR comes in at 15 months.
Right.
So it's an interesting game, right? And then the OTP and the blah, blah, blah. So by the time, over the years, there's 11 times things are going in your body, mm-hmm. but in the first couple of years. First couple of months, there's a few. So mm-hmm. then in 1986, right, the National mm-hmm. Vaccine Injury Compensation Program is another way to call that, mm-hmm. was created. And this basically removed the right for victims of vaccine injuries and deaths to sue the manufacturers.
Right, stop.
Right?
Stop. What is it? Why were they concerned about being sued?
Why were they concerned about being sued? Mm-hmm. Why was the pharmaceutical industry concerned about being sued?
At that time with those vaccines, because what he said was there were three companies making those vaccines at that time. All mm-hmm. the others had dropped out because they had more lawsuits for damages. And they said, and he talked the whole thing about the market, the market, what do you call it? The market, regulation and market process or something like that. And he was made a big thing about the market. If you're injuring somebody, the market takes care of it because people quit buying it or they tell their neighbor and they don't do it. The example of mine, you know, when I was in high school, the Corvair came out unsafe at any speed. Ralph Nader was his first thing, and he's talking about how many people were killed and damaged because this car was unsafe. Mm-hmm. It was just unsafe. And so what eventually, the Corvair just went off the market because it was no longer a product that people would do. And the vaccine companies, they were getting sued so much with these three vaccines that there was only one manufacturer left for each of those vaccines. And they went to the government in 1984, five, somewhere along there, and says, we're done. We're not going to make them anymore because we are getting too sued and we're losing too much money. Our lawsuits are costing us more than the money we're making on it. And so Ari Siri made the point that in our country, right or wrong, we determine success by dollars. If it's successful, dollars, it's good. Mm-hmm. And he says, that's what it is. I'm not going to go down that hole. But he says, so financially, they weren't able to make it. They were all going to drop out of the market. And they go to the government and says, unless you give us
immunity,
blanket immunity, we're going to quit making these. And then at the time, Reagan was president, and Dale Bigtree does a really good job explaining the political pressures he was under. He says he really wasn't happy about doing this, but he was the great compromiser.
Right.
He put together the coalition and says, okay, can we all get along with this?
And kind of like Pontius Pilate in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I wash my hands of this. Yeah. It's you who want him.
So they did it, and they gave immunity to these childhood vaccines. And then Ari said, but the greatest sin, the original sin, was they gave immunity for any future childhood vaccines. And he says, when they gave something that's not even developed and they already have immunity, no product has ever had that done or anything in the world.
Right. I think he called it the self-regulation of the market. Like normally it would self-regulate because this isn't working. Get it off the market. And now they just have the go-ahead to just keep producing.
Well, what he also said was if it's not working, the companies have a chance to go back and make it better. So if the product's not working, mm-hmm. you refine it, you make it better and better. And that's part of our standard. You know, we do that all the time in everything. How do you make it better, more efficient, economically, and everything? So,
you know, like if I'm going to buy a car, mm-hmm. you know, you just Google up. Now you just Google up. But you go to Consumer Reports, you go to something, say, hey, what are the reviews on the 2016 Toyota RAV4? Right?
Right.
Right? What are the reviews on that? And then it gives you all this information. Well, it's comfortable, it's safe, but it's kind of noisy, and you know, all the things, right?
And the brakes are going to go out early, or the transmission quits at 80,000 miles.
Right. You get it until you think you have a chance to make the next model better, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be nice if that was done for vaccines.
So, all right. So let's take a little break here. This is the program Conversations on WDRT. And this is Brian Wickert. And today I'm speaking with Paula Grenier. And we're talking about a podcast we both watched that talked about a review of what happened during the COVID situations around vaccines. And we're right now just talking about how this 1986 law called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act gave blanket immunity for vaccine companies on childhood vaccines then and into the future.
Right. And I want to reference back that the conversation we're talking about was on a show called The High Wire, mm-hmm. which is hosted by a man named Del Bigtree. And this particular conversation we're having is about episode number 326. So if you're kind of intrigued about what we're talking about and want the whole interview by Aaron Seary, he's a lawyer who works for ICAM, which is the Informed Consent Action Network, that whole presentation he gave to the Arizona Health Committees is what we're referring back to.
Right.
So that's all in that. You can just Google up Highwire, episode 326, mm-hmm. and you can get the full detail yourself. We're kind of just giving you some snippets of it today.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how was product safety assured? Well, usually we say there's these governing bodies or it self-regulates. And, when it comes to vaccines, it's funny. They literally have, the green flag to just go for it, which is very interesting when you really think about what these things are. It's not like a T-shirt you're wearing. And, you think of flammable pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
That got rid of those.
Right.
Those could start on fire and your baby's wearing them, Mm-hmm. But it's interesting how we just kind of go, okay, vaccine, yeah, we trust.
There you go.
We trust that it's a good thing to do because, people are telling me that I should do it. So
The federal government's telling us we should do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, who doesn't trust the government, Brian? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really the thing is, do you trust your government?
Do you trust? If you missed my intro, I'm a chiropractor, so my whole adult career life, every day I say to people, it's really about you making your own informed decisions for your health and trusting your body's ability, right? It's on our wall in our office, the word trust in big, huge wood letters, just reminding people that your body is an amazing thing and it has healing capacities, and chiropractic just helps, enhance that for you or whatever. Right. So same thing here. So I learned through my education in life that I do my own research for my own informed consent for my family, and then I make decisions, right? That's just something because of the field I'm in, I'm always like the alternative thinker around health, right? So that's not a new thing for me, but mm-hmm. If I wouldn't have gone into a chiropractic school and had that whole alternative mindset, it might have been a different story for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, mine was, I started in high school reading Eat Right, Live Right by Adele Davis with my mom.
There you go.
And so from the early age, I realized you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always watched, what I eat, when I would eat my milkshakes, French fries, and hamburgers.
You'd watch it. It was so good.
It was. But in the back of my mind, I knew. I said, this is not a long-term solution to what you want to do.
No. And a little thrill every now and then. A Friday night thrill.
Oh, no. It was an addiction. Back then, it was an addiction.
So, so then as we grow up in this world, mm-hmm. it's hard not to turn to, the government or governing bodies or agencies.
Mm-hmm.
It's another topic we hope to get to in this hour, the FDA, right? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? FDA, another one of those acronyms. That's the word. Acronyms. Food and Drug Administration put in the process for us to, quote unquote, turn to these government agencies for support and understanding for mm-hmm. what's safe to put in our body.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and my personal experience is if I don't do my own research, I get wrong information. I do not trust them completely. There's good information, but this thing about discernment, how do you tell which is right and what is wrong? That's what we need to work on. But with Ari, he's really went through, explained what they did so that there's no liability in these vaccines. And I just can't imagine what it would be like if there was any product on the market that had no liability. What would we have out there?
Bad cars, burning pajamas, lead in our paint, poor water quality. Right, we could go on and on, right? Where there's things that people have stepped in and said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, I grew up by the Fox River. Why is the Fox River a toxic sludge base? And now it's, you know, I'm going to go float at this area. So, you know, it's cleaned up, you know, but because people took the time to question and say, whoa, maybe what we're doing here isn't right. So the vaccine thing, yeah, it's an interesting, it's supposed to be good for you, but yet they're getting, what is it, pharmaceutical immunity because they're getting sued so much from injuries. Right there, that would make me...
Yeah.
Put a finger to my face and question something here. So maybe I'll want to do the same. It's up to you. Again, you can go back to the high wire and explore this. But we'll keep moving forward, Brian, because we knew we'd have a hard time getting through all this in an hour.
We're not going to get through it, but just give them an idea if they want to go watch it. It's well worth our time.
Yes. So let's see. Another interesting thing when we talk about this vaccine. So again, it's Aaron Siri?
Aaron, yeah.
You keep saying Ari. So Aaron?
I think it's okay. Ari, A-R-I, Ari Siri's.
You're right? I was Aaron, but okay, Mr. Siri. We'll go with Mr. Siri.
There you go.
He was kind of, again, showing us the whole paradigm of what vaccines are and how did the coronavirus vaccine come into all this. So he was also kind of doing a quick review about when they do put a vaccine out there. There may be some clinical trials. He was pointing out in the show, not so many. For interesting, like he showed this thing, like all these drugs that are put out, and all of them had like kind of longer test times. Mm-hmm. But the one for a vaccine, so short in the timeline.
Okay, give some examples of what the long ones were.
Well,
they were 2 to 5 years. Yeah.
And the vaccine was like a couple months.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, what he realized when he was redoing the research, he said, once a product is licensed, then you don't have to go back. And once they license it, the game's done, right?
But who's supposed to license it?
I don't know.
FDA.
Oh, the FDA. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that's where we're going to come back to is, you know, are they doing their job?
And yeah.
He made a compelling case that they're not doing their job because of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have
mm-hmm.
some more stuff on the license the time
well,
frames?
Let's see. So yeah. So then we moved into this show. Started moving into this idea about who's regulating this mm-hmm. process, and then, like you said, the FDA. You know, one of the things that was just upsetting when you watch, if you watch this document, this interview with him, was, you know, bringing back to just one case. I just want to bring that, you know, there's many mm-hmm. cases of injury and death, hence why they got immunity. But one of them, they just had this young lady, they were showing her story that she was, like, literally in a wheelchair, and her parents were fighting to, you know, have some, what's the word, retribution for that, some support, and... You know, it's going in front of the FDA. They had to go through we should talk about the reporting network VAERS.
Well, let's go back. If this lady I'm talking about, she was the one that volunteered to be one of the first trial studies. This is the little girl with the stomach and the wheelchair.
Yeah, Maddie, yeah.
Yeah. So Maddie volunteered, you know, FDA needs some volunteers to check this new vaccine. Great. So they...
And was this for the COVID one?
Yeah.
For mm-hmm. the corona, okay.
And so they have pictures of her being a gymnast and jumping around and... being very active and stuff, and then she got her mRNA shot, and then her whole life changed, and she's confined to a wheelchair now. She has a stomach feeding tube where she had stomach problems, and when they report it through VAERS, which is where you report this, and they went to the FDA and says, can we look at the report? The only thing they showed was reaction. Mild stomach.
Right. Yeah, her whole life was just completely changed from being a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they just said she had stomach pain, which is not true.
No, and she's so sitting there with her mom at these hearings saying, this is how the FDA reported it, mild stomach pain. And Ari went through a long stuff about how hard it was to get the information. He'd have to do FOIA requests, back and forth, and do you remember how many months it was before they got the information from the FDA that actually showed what her report was?
Do you?
No, I don't remember either, but it was like 9 months, 12 months, just saying, can we see the report of Maddie's reaction. And all it says was stomach pain. This is not it. And the mother would just be, you know, explaining this, and her anguish on her face mm-hmm. was so heart, you know, it just broke your heart, because she says, we did what we thought was right. We thought we would help. And then we've got this reaction, and it's like we don't exist.
Yeah, we don't exist. And it's like, okay, you volunteered, but still, if somebody's now living in a wheelchair, did they get compensation for that? You know, I mean, it's like, it's terrible how how to be treated that way mm-hmm. By a government, by, well, I guess the FDA is a government body, right?
Agency,
that's what they are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that was a bummer part of that. But it shows just a slice of the reality out there, mm-hmm. right? Just a slice. I mean, I've watched hours of things about a show called The Truth About Vaccines. It's got hours of documentation where it's they're not alone. Mm-hmm. There's folks who, you know, not even volunteering, like, okay, this is a licensed product. I choose to take it for my well-being. My mm-hmm. child has a reaction, and people go through the process. They report it, and it takes, like you said, months, years to try to even get to the point of getting the hearing. And, you know, there is a fund, by the way, also. I don't know if it was talked about on the show, but there is a fund that the mm-hmm. government does have set aside money for people who do get injured by vaccines. There's a fund, but it's mm-hmm. like, oh, my goodness, to get any possibility of getting any of that fund to support your now potentially bedridden or diaper-ridden adult child for your help or whatever the situation is, mm-hmm. it's really hard to get there, right? It's
not the like obstacles, you know, it's like stacked against you. The one lady I read about that got through it, she was a PhD in some kind of policy network, and she says, I was able to get through it because I understood how administrative stuff works. She says, but it is unbelievable. The things they ask, they say, okay, if we're going to compensate you, how many diapers are you going to need for your son?
Let's see, 10 a day for the rest of his life.
Well, but that was the detail right. that they says, oh, that's what you have to, so you fill out that. Okay, what kind of, you know, medication, what kind of help are you going to need in your home? And she had to make like this incredible mm-hmm. business, I don't know if it's a business plan, but just plan for this child's whole life. And he, you know, she had a picture of him. He was probably about big kid, 6'2", had a football helmet on because he was always falling down and stuff. And, you know, in diapers. And she says, I got through it. And she says, it's not enough to cover his needs. So the VAERS thing, or that Compensation Act, it's really stacked. And mm-hmm. you know who it's funded by?
I don't.
Pharmaceutical companies.
They fund the,
they have to.
Well, that's
so kind of
good,
money.
Actually.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
better than coming out of our tax dollars.
Yeah, but it's, you know, they just don't let any money get spent out hardly.
Yeah, well, in that sense, yeah, it's like we'll give you, yeah.
So they have to maintain a balance.
Yeah, these are, sorry for going off topic here, but these are interesting things that go on in our world, in our country, in our healthcare system. That, you know, knock on wood, if you mm-hmm. listeners don't have this happen to you, you don't have to know about it, right?
Right.
But then there's other folks that have had this, and this is their world, you know, of navigating through these systems and stuff. So it's, yeah, it's hard. Which brings back to the original discussion mm-hmm. of informed consent and doing your research and making your best decision for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Because
if we don't do the research, don't have the right. information available, it can't.
I mean, you wonder what's worse, trying to go through measles or going through that potential life.
Right.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where do we get? How far do we get into to Mr. Series 5 things he was supposed to cover in his talk?
Well, that form we've mostly covered is the
immunity.
Pharmaceutical immunity.
Right.
Informed consent, we've been talking a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I forget what he exactly referenced to. I mean, I know during the 2 years of the coronavirus pandemic, you know, there was, I don't know, Brian, did you touch on that informed consent as much? I'm just meaning, like, people, I felt like that life that we lived for 2 years, it just felt kind of a pressured situation. Like, I mean, sometimes it was mandatory for jobs and all that. That was a whole other realm of life.
He talked a little bit about the messages that went out about okay. the vaccine being, they didn't talk about the safety studies, because there weren't any, and to have informed consent, you need to know about the safety studies. So we weren't told about them. And because we weren't told about them, there really weren't any. But yet he says the mantra was they're safe and
effective.
Right. And then he goes back to it. He says they didn't have any safety studies. And he says they went to the FDA and asked through a FOIA request, give me all the studies that show how effective it is. 18 months went by. They kept having to go back because they have a timeline. Every, 90 days to report, then they reply again, and it kept going. And they came back and they said, we have no studies for it being safe and effective. That wasn't what we tested.
Look at me, I'm sitting here dumbfounded. That was, we didn't want to test that. What did we test?
Well,
who are we?
Well, but you bring the next question there. They said that the test they did was it would be less severe of an infection. And they says, well, can you show us the tests about it? It'll prevent transmission. And after all these months, requesting comes back, says, we did not test for whether or not this mRNA shot will be prevent transmission.
Right. And but at least, I will. That's the one thing they being the pharmaceutical companies making these products during the pandemic. I mean, what I remember is that they said, we are not saying this will stop transmission. At least that. I felt that the line I was always reading was, this will help reduce your symptoms, which will hopefully prevent death. Right. Something of that long. But you're right. They never... they said these are safe and effective, go for it, people, it's getting approved, but now asking these questions 2 years later and seeing, we're hearing they never studied that. They never researched whether it be safe and effective, which is, again, back to what we're saying, this doesn't happen. The products are always studied for safe and effectiveness before given to the general public, besides always? Vaccines. I'm saying, most of the time, always is a big word. Like you said, either self-regulates because the product doesn't work and they take it off the market. Mm-hmm. Things like that. But like little car parts, recalling this car, this is terrible, the muffler's bad.
True.
Yeah, and there's no recalling on this. It's like once they get the proof to license it with the minimal research for vaccines, it's out in there and...
But the other thing is vaccines are the only ones that have this blanket immunity.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And so they, if you're measuring in dollars and cents... And your biggest expense or one of your biggest expenses is immunity and liability that you have to pay out for a bad product. All of a sudden you take that off the balance sheet or off the profit and loss. Wait, we don't have that expense anymore. And so Ari went into that a lot. And do you remember the part when he had the two people that were the grandfather vaccines, when he had the deposition of the guy?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Dr., I have him, Stanley Plotkin?
Yeah,
Stanley Plotkin, right? Very famous. He wrote books. He wrote a book called The Vaccine Book. Very famous guy. And they had him, they were interviewing him, right?
No, he was deposed.
Deposed, okay.
So he was under oath. So go ahead, yeah, so he was under oath.
Well, no, you keep going, because I just have that little note.
Yeah, so he was under oath, and he asked him about these clinical trials. And it says, in your... book, you say clinical trials should run so many years because it won't show up right away at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yes. And then he says, so can you read this section of your coronavirus stuff? And he reads it, and it basically says it's safe and effective. And he says, did that meet what you wrote in the book? And he's like, the most sour look on his face. And he's going, no, it does not meet what I wrote in the book. But he says, you had said it was safe and effective, but it didn't meet your criteria. Can you explain why?
Mm-hmm.
And there's just this wringing of the hands of this guy. And he's old. He's 80 years old. And it's like he's got all these awards, and now he's asked to defend what he's had for years, and he can't. And it was so hard to watch because he was in there.
Hard to watch, you mean, because he was super uncomfortable, you're saying?
Terrible.
Did he, in the end, what's the word? Like, basically, his whole book was, like, not true. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, rip up the book.
No, that what he said in the book was true, but what he was doing with the corona, he says they did not meet any of the stuff he said in his book.
Did he say he supported that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of hard, right? You write this book, and then... Yeah, so you have this expert all these years, and he's, mm-hmm. you know, sitting in the middle of that scene. Well, I'm feeling for him to be put in that spot at the end of his life. I don't know if he's not end of his life cycle, but later in his life cycle, you know. Yeah. Like, oh, put on the spot like that. But
all right. Yeah. So let me take a little break here. This is the program Conversations on WDRT. This is Brian Wickert hosting today, and I'm speaking with Paula Grenier today. And we're talking about the Arizona Senate Health and Human Services Committee reviewing their experience of the COVID pandemic. And we had just watched a show on the High Wire, and we were both talking about what we learned from this show. And it was on, you can Google it up, High Wire number
326.
And
326.
Aaron Seary was the speaker, and he's a lawyer that asked the government to be transparent, is basically what he does. And his question was, how could the system be so broken? Yeah. That's where he goes. So we were just talking about the clinical trials. This Dr.
Stanley Plotkin.
Plotkin had written, you know, he was like the grandfather of vaccines, wrote the book about vaccines.
Yeah, they showed him getting award upon award on award. Yeah, you know, very illustrious career, right, mm-hmm. in this realm.
Right.
And now it comes to this big crisis in the world. And
he says most of the stuff, there weren't any, because he asked him, the clinical trials they did for the mRNA, how long did they last? 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 months. And then he says, what about the, what's the part that you don't vaccination, it holds you?
The control group?
Yeah, the control group.
Yeah, the placebo group.
Placebo right. group. And he says, they quit them like at six or 8 weeks or something like that, to where the placebo group, and that's your backdrop for your information. And he says they just quit doing those. And they would ask him, do you think that was good? And he would just sit there and, you know, wring his hands and go, no. But he knew he was just telling his whole life just, no, I lied.
Wow. Wow. Well, and again, the whole reason of this conversation today was that this idea about Mr. Seary and his position of being asked to talk about these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he was talking to Del Bigtree at the beginning of the show, he said, I just decided the only way to really give the best picture was to just give the whole history.
Yeah.
So if you missed the early part of the show, like the whole history. And the mm-hmm. line he used was like, you have to understand the paradigm of what the coronavirus vaccine came into, our paradigm of how we handle things in this country around mm-hmm. vaccines. Gosh, there's another really good book I read about that, Brian, about the whole polio vaccine and, you know, just the history of that. And the same thing in that, just stepping into that, it was fascinating. Like, you know, like the whole polio thing at the time was like, who could get a vaccine out fast enough with enough studies? They were attempting some studies for real, so that's good. But again, it was like this timeline thing. Like, they took these monkey cells and they injected the polio. There was the live, there was the attenuating, all these different ways, and these companies were racing to get the best vaccine out. And then one of them decided, good enough, we did 30 days, good enough. And then they boom, put out to millions of people, started giving all those kids that shot, right? But someone else, a woman who was like kind of an intern doctor, studied it a bit further and watched the cells in, you know, in the Petri dish. Mm-hmm. past 30 days, and she started seeing that they were turning into carcinogenic cells, and she said, mm-hmm. excuse me, if you'd let this go past 30 days, something really weird is starting to happen, and like, they wouldn't even look at it. I'm sorry, the book I can't remember the title, but it's, they wouldn't even look at it. She's mm-hmm. like, okay, you're out of this, you're done with your internship. They just basically silenced her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that just kind of made my head spin about that, like all those children who were in the 50s getting polio shots are now how old?
70, 80s.
Right? And mm-hmm. what's our cancer rate in America?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting.
Correlation, but not causation.
Exactly.
So in the, you mentioned that up, but in the polio 1955, they had the Cutter incident.
Hmm.
And that was Cutter Labs made this vaccination, and instead of putting the dead virus, they put the live virus in 200,000 doses.
Mm.
40,000 of those children got polio. Yeah.
That which they're trying to prevent.
Yeah, yeah. That's called the Cutter Incident because it was, you know.
I remember that. Now you say that. Yeah.
And so then out of the 40,000, they had several hundred that became paralyzed for life, and there were like 10 deaths.
Wow.
And the Cutter Labs is, of course, no longer in business for obvious reasons. Because the market would work it. No, we don't want to trust them.
Self-regulated market.
Right. Self-regulated market. So, you know, that's what Ari talked about. He says it does work. He doesn't want to talk about whether that's the best way, but he says it does work getting rid of bad products if you just let it self-regulate itself. If you give them the information, people are smart enough to make their own decisions.
Right. And, you know, again, this is a, I don't want to say touchy subject, but whatever it is, like, this is huge. This is like healthcare. This is, you know, this whole concept of vaccines, you know, I could go deep into the whole concept of vaccines, just meaning in a sense of our own bodies again, right? Either we accept the germ theory as real or we don't accept the germ theory as real. So there's that whole conversation that, you know, the man who created the germ theory, I could remember his name.
Pasteur? No.
What's the other guy? Shoot.
Oh, Beauchamp. Beauchamp?
Gosh, I can't think of his name.
He's the French guy, right?
Yeah, but I can't think of his name. Yeah, so something, whatever it was, but he literally on his deathbed said, I was wrong.
Yeah.
It isn't the germ that caused the problem. It's the terrain. It's your own body.
Environment.
If your own body is in balance and not in its own rhythm of health and well-being, it's more susceptible to the environment around you, which is filled with germs.
Right.
I mean, you can just, they're all everywhere. So, you know, it's a whole ecosystem and the microbial world in which we live, and there's all kinds of studies on that we need those things, you know, the whole antibiotic industry. You take an antibiotic, it kills everything. Well, then you just wiped all your good antibiotics, good bacteria we need in our body. So there's all these different realms, but it's all good food for thought, folks, and it's just about, like, do your research, right? We keep coming back to that. Do your own research so that you can make your own informed decisions and then live with that, like, meaning that's your right. In my eyes, it's my right to make my decisions for my body and my family, and I'll do my research. That's comes the gist that, like, this information, so this conversation that Mr. Siri is having with this committee, right? They're reflecting back upon the 2 years, which is great, because hopefully they're hearing the information he gave them. And it's not even just what he gave them. It's like, this is what the records show. This is how many reports went into VAERS, which is the vaccine accident
injury reports,
right? And the crazy thing is they say, you know, only some people take the time to report it. So then they really say the estimate's probably higher that there was reactions to these things, to these vaccines. And then you have to look at those numbers, that they're real. Like, these are people saying, hey, I had this happen to me. So as you said, causation or correlation, right? That also came up in this report of his, right, later, where I can't remember exactly, I was writing some notes on, but you remember this part where one of the company's responses, we are unable to respond at this time due to resource constraints and ongoing pandemic response. Like, they didn't ever give answers, right?
They
would
sidestepped
these fluffy, or Pfizer said, oh, they don't feel like it's related to the vaccine. Does this young lady, the young lady saying,
Maddie.
Yeah, she, you know, she has a whole thing going on. The mother's sitting there and the daughter's in a wheelchair. And
okay, so I'll go.
Yeah, go with
I'll
that.
Go back. So Maddie was in the wheelchair, and they're trying to get to the fact that she wasn't just a stomach, that she's life-threatening injuries.
From the vaccine.
From the vaccine.
That she volunteered for.
So they finally, the FDA asks Pfizer for the reports, because the report got sent in, and Pfizer had the report but wasn't sharing it with the FDA. So they're finally getting these requests for information. It comes back and it goes to a committee, and it shows the complete story of Maddie. And then the guy that gives the report to the FDA from Pfizer says, we feel it wasn't the vaccine.
We just don't feel it's related to the vet. We don't feel it is.
Right. So the guy, what's his name, from the FDA, he used to be the head of FDA, he comes out and he says, well, there's no correlation. Pfizer told us.
Pfizer told us. They don't feel like it's related.
Right, right. And so Ari goes to this thing. He says, so the guy from Pfizer is giving all the symptoms, and he says, okay, they're going to say that it causes it. And he says they list all the symptoms. At the end, the summary is, we don't feel it's related. And so that's all that went to the FDA guy. And he looks at it and he says, oh, no problem. No problem here. And he says, so they completely got whitewashed, you know, off the board.
And, you know, how can that be? Again, like, you're the mother of this child, and your child is healthy. You're doing a good thing that you think for the world. And now she's forever disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And all you're looking for is some support to help care for her for the rest of her life, because mm-hmm. that's what's going to have to happen at this point, right, for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you get back from the drug company who manufactured that, and then your regulating body of the FDA just accepts that as good enough that we don't feel it's related.
Well, and then
I mean, how does that person feel? How do you, right? It's just sad. It's just sad for them.
The other thing is the FDA is what they call ARI is what called them a captured agency, and meaning that they can't be honest or they can't be truthful because of where their money comes from. Mm. And 40% of the budget from the FDA comes from the pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And do you remember we talked about the patents that the FDA people get royalties off of?
Okay.
There were like 1,200 people in the FDA, CDC, NIH, but the government agencies that approve these drugs, and now they get patents as they sell. And he says it's completely wrong. He says when you have an agency that's supposed to be looking after the health of the public, but they really see themselves as partners with the pharmaceutical companies because they're getting royalty payments.
And
he talked about it being a captured agency.
Captured agency, which, you know, next would be the second regulatory body is the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stories there too, right, that he went into some of that. So some, right, that's where the CDC is the one who has these reporting systems, in theory, mm-hmm. that you're supposed to be able to, you know, send in for the VAERS data and the VSAFE. That's supposed to be the second regulating agency of all this.
After the market forces.
I'm sorry that I'm snickering. Yeah. If you could see my face. Yeah. Snicker, snicker. Brian, do you remember that part when we talked about, kind of, it was near the end of the interview, but the CDC, like the VSAFE is like his words. This is supposed to be the premier system designed to review the safety of the coronavirus vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 10 million people used it. And what I had written down was like the CDC did not want to give out that data collection. Like, 10 million people are using this VSAFE because you're saying to us, okay, if you choose to use this vaccine and you have full right to report into the CDC, your regulatory body for you, and we called it VSAFE for a reason because, you know, if you're vaccine safety.
Vaccine safety.
And then we have the right to know the information. So the CDC didn't want to give it out, but, you know, another thing Aaron mentioned was the Freedom of Information Act.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I forget when that came into play, but they have to disclose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the CDC doesn't want to. You don't get to not want to, governing body that you're supposed to be in it for the people, right? Mm-hmm. It's just so very interesting. So it kind of just, what you said, like the captured agencies and the money. I mean, Paul and I are harder on the show to always go back to just follow the money. Just trace something back to the money source, like who's paying who to do what, right? Just follow that trail back. And then you start to see some of the relationships and you're like, ugh. You know, that's why you have to, in my eyes, I have to rely on myself.
And so,
because I don't know where all those people are tied into whose, right, pockets.
If you trust all of them and then you find out you can't trust them, what does that do to your world?
Right. You have to go back to yourself.
You know.
The divine.
It's overwhelming.
Right.
If you've spent your whole life and you think, wait, if that's not true, what else isn't true?
Yeah, what else isn't true?
And yeah. And that's
it's upsetting.
It is.
That's, shakes people's, like, health. What do you call it?
The worldview.
Yeah, it takes your worldview when all of a sudden, like, what? Mm-hmm. But I thought these were all put in place for our well-being, so we have support, right? We have places we can go to for information. So it gets challenging, folks. We're just we're having this conversation because we both felt the same way. I mean, I did after I watched that. It's like, here we go again, you know, like, oh, here we go again, Brian.
Yeah.
The world turns.
It comes back to what you said earlier, being responsible for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are getting paid for working in this industry, they don't know that they're part of this really
bad
system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got a friend I went to high school with, and he does nuclear pharmaceutical stuff. And so, you know, he would talk to me about all this stuff because I get the inside, you know, news. He says, this was 2016, 2017, I started to receive about the coronavirus coming. He says, we already knew it. He says, I wasn't surprised if this come on, but he's just, you know, he just goes, oh, he says, those guys are really horrible. And he's working, you know, his little slice.
Yeah.
He's doing really good work.
Well, and there's plenty of doctors and nurses out in there who are doing great work, and they just want to help people, and then just are become part of it, right? They're like, they're just doing their job trying to help people. Like, you know, Dr. Pierre Corey is another guy out there who got caught up in the whole ivermectin game. That's a whole other show you can probably watch with the high wire. So it's out there. There's information you can all look up. That's where I'm encouraging you to just look up for yourself the information available and the people interviewed and hear their stories.
And the people, as we get new information, how do you back away from that?
Yeah.
How do you go back and says, I wish I would have done it differently? Mm-hmm. And some of the people are, you know, in their people's faces, they don't want to be shamed, and other people are waiting to shame them. So we've got
it's not about that. It's just about, you know, so we can move forward. I love this saying. Isn't that the Wisconsin saying, going forward?
Yeah.
But move forward to when a next crisis happens, what did we learn? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm taking away from this. Yeah. So, well, thanks, Brian, for inviting me today. It was lots of fun to be back on the air.
We're back at the end of the hour, so this has been really interesting, really quick. But again, let's give the information.
Yeah, so if you want to read the whole interview or hear it, it's The High Wire. It's episode 326. You can Google that up with Del Bigtree and Aaron Siri, the lawyer, with the Informed Consent Action Network.
Yeah, And I like about The High Wire is he's got that high wire protocol. Everything is transparent.
Yep.
That's his number one thing. He says he's not dependent on advertisers.
Yes.
Private individual donations is how he stays in business.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you again. Hope to see you and keep fighting the good fight.
Yes.
Thank you.